You know what, Sam?
What?
Gabriel Iglesias is a huge caniac.
Of course he is.
Coming to you from the heart of Canes country, this is the Caniac Report. Your number one source for everything Carolina Hurricanes. Hot takes, predictions, game analysis, and NHL news. And now your hosts, Sam Wallace and Sam Driscoll.
All right, we're back with another episode of the Caniac Report. And Sam, two great wins for the Hurricanes. Pretty happy. Now, we do need to recap the deadline day, because we did make another move that we will get to here in a few minutes.
Yes.
So, first things first, we'll go on to podcast news. We have a great sponsor with SeatGeek. You get 20% off of your first purchase with SeatGeek when you use code CANIACREPORT, all one word. It is a great discount on tickets. I would use it, especially with the game that we recorded was the great Calgary game, which we won 7-2 against. That was the beginning of a 3-game homestand. So great time right now to use those tickets. It's going to be tough games, Rangers in Florida.
Yep.
But it'd be a great time to use those.
Real test.
Use the promo.
Yeah.
With SeatGeek.
Use the promo. It'll be two games where it's a real test of what this team is made of.
Yes, definitely. Another piece of podcast news is that we have a link for donations. It's a PayPal link that is found in the description of each of our episodes. So if you feel like you want to donate, the link is in the episode description in all the episodes. So that is all for podcast news. Now we're getting to some NHL news. And Sam, we're basically going to be wrapping up deadline day.
Yes.
Lots of trades happened on deadline day.
Yes.
And the first thing, Sam, is that Tyler Toffoli got traded to Winnipeg. And I'm bringing up the full trade here. But it was basically picks going to New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm bringing that up right now. But, I mean, Winnipeg gets a pretty good goal scorer.
They're loading up for a run. Vancouver probably would be already considered loading up for a run when they got Lindholm. New York, I didn't really felt like they did a lot at the deadline, at least not as much as you'd think, but they did a lot last year. So they probably weren't in the position to do as much. Florida added Tarasenko at a really good deal price. But I feel like in general, Winnipeg had a really good deadline day.
They really did. I mean, getting Tyler Toffoli. New Jersey gets a second round pick in 2025 and a third round pick in 2024 draft. So they get something, but obviously they could not agree on an extension. That's why they traded him. And Tyler Toffoli was 50% retained.
Well, New Jersey's in a position where he's not a guy, you know, they necessarily need, and it's going to work out for the Devils. They're a good team. They just have a couple pieces missing, then they can fill around the edges at free agency. They just really need to go in and probably get the best of, you know, if Pesci walks, that is a must for them for sure.
Oh, yes, definitely. Because
that's a player that they're missing there, a goaltender. We'll see what Kaapo Kakkonen can do.
And they get Jake Allen, too, from Montreal.
That'll solidify them in goal, for sure. Jake Allen's a good goalie. That's a good fix for them for now. I feel like their eventual desire is probably Markstrom, but we'll see.
Yes, and Tampa, they were able to shore up on the blue line by getting Matt Dumba from Arizona.
Yeah.
So that was another trade there. And Rangers, they did do something. They got Jack Roslovic from Columbus.
Yeah.
Now, him and Wimberg, I say they're kind of around in the same boat. They're just, to me, depth pieces.
Yes.
And that's all the Rangers could afford because they went so hard last year. And as a result, they get knocked down in the first round by the Devils.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, Rangers are a solid team. I do believe Carolina is a better team than they are. I think if you just look at the roster.
It's just the goaltending that I'm concerned about. Shesterkin.
Shesterkin can win you games. Back. Shesterkin can win you games, but Shesterkin has also proven he's not consistent. And when he can be good. So if you get him on an off night, he's off. So it's just one of those things as well, where he's more on than off. But if you rattle him, then that's it for Shesterkin.
Definitely. Now, the biggest trade that happened, Vegas. It gets Thomas Hurdle, 17.1% retained from San Jose. But they also get a 2025 third-round pick and a 2027 third round pick, so 2 third round picks. They trade David Edstrom, who is listed as from cap friendly as like an A minus prospect.
Okay, that's solid for them.
And a 2025 first round pick.
So that is a big deal. Tomas Hertl, good player. He's on a very bad Sharks team. So Vegas loading up again. You know, Mark Stone's out. Sounds like he might actually be out longer than anticipated.
And they're on the verge of missing the playoffs, possibly.
Yeah. But I think Hurdle has term.
He does. He has quite a bit of term left. But I'm telling you, San Jose, they have 3 contracts retained.
Yeah.
I mean, just think about that.
Yeah. I mean, Burns is one of them, right? I think they're still paying Burns.
Yeah. So Brent Burns for another 2 years. Thomas Hurdle for the next 6 years at like 1.3 something million retained, and Erik Karlsson at 1.5 million retained for the next 4 years. That's a lot of
dead cap.
It kind of reminds me a little bit of Minnesota with that situation.
Except here, San Jose is going into a full rebuild, so they're not going to be good for probably 4 years.
Well, I would say 3 years. Anything to me can happen after 3 years.
It's possible. I think San Jose will eventually get there. They really don't have anything at this point. I think they're trying to get like a top end prospect because I don't feel like they have like a guy at this moment. They have a guy.
Eklund, William Eklund. 30 points, 61 games for them.
I mean, obviously, you want a little bit more if he is their guy. They also have Logan Couture. I mean, he'll be a good role, you know, a good, like, what's the word? A good example for the younger players, for sure. He'll be their leader.
And Will Smith, who they just drafted this past draft.
So they just, they'll have another top-end pick. They might even get the first overall pick this year. I think they're the worst team in the league.
Chicago is the worst
team really?
In the league, yes.
Well, then Chicago might get another first-round pick or first overall pick. Bedard.
I hope they don't, to be honest, because they got Bedard.
They're going to get another combination of Kane and Taves in Chicago. Watch, they'll get the first-round pick because the league will want them to have the first overall pick. Market here. I'm saying now Chicago's going to get the first overall
pick. I don't think it's red, but if you want to believe that, that's fine. That's just my opinion. Now, that kind of wrapped up trade deadline for other teams. Again, we'll talk about us in the Hurricanes news, but another piece of news, Sam, and NHL news that I want us to discuss. John Tortorella.
I love Torts. I love Tortorella so much.
Now, last night, apparently officials were getting upset with him.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted him to go, but John Tortorella, he's like, no, I'm staying. I'm staying. He said that like at least 5 times.
Yeah, he said, I'm staying because he wanted an explanation for something, which he was not getting. And I agree. Elliot Friedman made a comment. He said more or less, you know, this is when you want the officials to answer questions after games. Like, why was he kicked out? What was going on? And that's why officials need to be answering questions.
Yes, they should. Because out of that whole chaos there, Tortorella, 2-game suspension, and a $50,000 fine. Now, luckily for him, he doesn't need to pay it because the owner is paying it for him. I like it when owners kind of defend their
coach. Yeah, because Dundon did that to Rod when Rod got fined for abuse of officials. I think that's what it was for. Oh, or it was like during this press conference after a game where he just lit into the officials. Look,
it's going to help the league grow, I think, if you let the officials speak their mind.
Yeah, they should be able to. They should have to answer questions after a game, and you need to get to that point. If you're going to be suspending and fining coaches for having disagreements with how something went down in a game, you need to make that official, answer questions. Otherwise, I'm sorry. I think it's a bit hypocritical to fine and suspend Tortorella or any coach, Rod. I don't care who the coach is. I mean, make them say why they kicked him out. Make them give a reason behind this. Right? It's not right. Did Tortorella probably go too far? Very possible.
I think Tortorella did go too far. But a little bit is understandable because officials in this league, I mean, we'll talk about the Devils game, but Brendan Moore had his own complaints with the officials that game. So, I mean,
but overall, I love John Tortorella.
You need coaches to vent a little bit. Yeah. You can't expect them to be like robots.
No. And I love Tortorella. He's probably my, you know, I've always said if it's not Rod, I want it to be Torts as the head coach of the Hurricanes. So I'm probably going to be one of those who also sticks up for Tortorella in this instance. So good job for the owner for paying that salary.
Yes.
Or that's fine.
Yes, definitely. And as you yawn, we're going to get to now Hurricane news. Sam, on deadline day, Hurricanes were not done.
Nope.
They went out and got a center in Evgeny Kuznetsov from Washington. Now, initially, I'll admit, and I tweeted this out, I wasn't a big fan of this trade at first because I thought it was a pretty big risk. I mean, Kuznetsov struggling very hard with Washington this season, 11 points in 40-something games, really falling off of his game, and you're getting him, I mean, he's 50% retained, but regardless of that, $3.9 million into a guy that you're gambling on. I like to gamble on someone that probably has a bit of a lower cap hit. That was my only thing. But to me, if you think about it, and the more I thought about it, I was like, you know what? I like this trade because it puts pressure. And I actually thought KK played pretty good. I mean, tonight against Calgary, I thought pretty much everybody
played good against Calgary. Yeah, Calgary just looked bad tonight.
Yeah, they did. But it puts pressure on KK and Drury. And I think the question is with Kuznetsov. And I do think Brendan Moore is going to give him the opportunity. The question is, can he be our second line center?
So when Washington waived him, I said claim him. Stand by it. I would have taken him with his full salary. Upside is so very, very high. And I was going to possibly talk about this a couple episodes back, but it worked out. We get to talk about it now because we traded for him. I would have taken him that there because the need for a second line center I felt was so high, and what Kuznetsov brings to the table. And Rod, I have known that Rod likes him and Rod wanted him. And I'm like, this just makes sense right now because you got a player in KK who's just not there. You got a player in Drury who's fine, but he is not. He shouldn't be a second line center on a Stanley Cup contender.
No, he shouldn't.
And then if you just even get a fraction of what Kuznetsov can do, that's better than either of those. And Kuznetsov has more skill than either of those guys do. Then I saw we didn't claim. I'm like, you know, that's fine. You know, the contract's high. I understand. That's not something the team likes to do. But then I saw we traded for him, and the Caps retained half of that. I'm like, that's even better. It's even better trade. It's a better result for this team. But I'm like, you know, but when I saw Kuznetsov waived, either way, I was like, that's something I could see Carolina doing. Because I thought that's typical, right? Carolina gets projects, and Kuznetsov might be considered a project, right, for the team. A player that's kind of down on their luck. Carolina's been a place before. Think of Nino Niederreiter, the Victor Rask trade, right?
Yes.
Victor Rask goes out, not playing well in Carolina. Nino Niederreiter comes here, not playing well in Minnesota. Nino turns his game to a whole new level in Carolina. I think what we've seen from Kuznetsov so far is he's going to do that for us. Now, I'm giving Kuznetsov a very long runway before I start saying, okay, he has to produce because he hasn't played a lot lately, like at all. And it's going to take a little time to get acclimated to the system and to the set plays and all that stuff. So, yeah, it takes some time. I'm giving Kuznetsov at least probably
seven games.
Yeah. Honestly, if he's playing like he is now, which is flashes of greatness. his playmaking ability is clearly very good. The passes he makes, like, wow. Like, it's just jaw-dropping at how sometimes he connects those. He's having a lot of good opportunities, probably clutching the stick a little too much on a couple of good opportunities to
he
score.
He almost scored.
He did. Almost scored against Calgary.
Oh, my God. It was so close.
And almost against New Jersey. So he could have two goals in two games easily. I believe he's going to get there. He's going to get there, and he's going to – I predict he'll do it against the Rangers because that'll be a really tough game, and I think that's a game where Kuznetsov can shine in a big moment, right? Just remember, this guy won a cup with Washington. He was a big reason they won the cup.
Yes, he was.
If not the reason they won that cup, right? Him and Ovechkin were outstanding in that playoff series against the Golden Knights. If we can get half of that from Kuznetsov – we'll be good, because at that point, that's Kuznetsov, first-line Kuznetsov. I don't know if we'll ever get first-line Kuznetsov from there, but if we can get, like, second-line Kuznetsov, I'll take that.
Yes, and I think you phrased that wonderfully. He doesn't have to be that first-line player that he won for the Stanley Cup with Washington.
No.
Just if he can be half of that.
And he's in his prime right now. That'd be great.
31 years old.
Yeah, he's in his prime. He's probably got another 4 good years left in his career. All right, this is where we're talking about where he should be his greatest. And I think playing in Carolina can really do that for him. So I'm excited. That was a trade that I was like, you know, that's a sneaky good deal.
Low risk, about high reward trade.
And we talked about needing a center. And I think it creates competition. And in just those two games, I felt KK has looked better.
Yes, because there's now pressure on him. There wasn't before.
Yep.
Like, he was a given at the fourth center spot, basically.
Yeah, because they weren't going to pull up Ponomarev. They weren't going to pull up Ponomarev to bench KK. But now you have Kuznetsov, and you can be like, yeah, we've got KK for, 6-7 years left? So, well, we can bench him for what we need to. We got Kuznetsov for the next 2 years. So.
And KK suddenly is like, I'm a little bit worried. I have to fight for my job now, which as part of like being management for Carolina, that's a good thing. You want that competition.
Yes.
You can't just give these players positions just because of stats or whatever in the past.
And we can argue whether the contract is good or not. And this is how I'll phrase this and why I still like the contract. Look at Jordan Staal's contract. It was, I think, like an 11-year, $6 million contract, right? Jordan Staal's been great, and I love the player. Was that too high? Probably. Was that too long? Probably. Or the argument, I think, can be made that we paid him too much. But he ended up being nothing more than your third-line center the last half of that contract. So about 5-6 years, he was your second, third line center. He was never really your first guy. He just wasn't that kind of player. We paid him six, third line center. If KK can become your third line center at 4-9, I think is his deal.
I think he can be a third line center.
I'm okay.
I think that's his potential, though.
And I'm fine. And that
third line role.
And that's cheaper than Staal. So it's one of those things where it's like, okay, if our third line center versus six, you know, where when it was $6 million, now it's less than $5 million. I'm like, okay, if that's how I choose to look at this contract, I can stomach that.
Yes. Now here's the thing: if we could somehow trade him, I would do that, considering the amount of contracts that are expiring at the end of the season. Again, if we can, I look at a team like Chicago that could probably take him on as a project, considering they don't have any big name contracts. Now, again, they might not want him because he has a huge contract, but a team like that, I could see, possibly. But it's going to be very difficult regardless to trade him because of how many years he has on that contract. So that's going to be interesting, different dynamic in that center core with Kuznetsov now being a part of it. And a couple other news, Sam. All the players that were on waivers cleared.
Oh, there was another thing that happened we don't want to forget. There was a trade, it sounded like, with Carolina and Toronto for Tony that never panned out.
Yeah, that never panned out.
So it sounded like there may have been something there, and then it just fell through. I'm personally glad because
You need a defensive depth.
Yeah, and so now you've got two guys. Really, you've got three defensemen now in your system that can come up if you have injuries. You'll never get to that point. It's really just a matter of where where Ty Smith and Dylan Coughlin are in that, you know, order, who's above who.
But probably Ty Smith.
So then you've got Tony, Ty, and Dylan. So you got three defensemen there who can all play in the National Hockey League. And good, you need that. And then you've got some forwards who can play. You got Brendan Lemieux, Ryan Suzuki, who can still play if you have to go there. You're going to have...
I think KK is going to be
scratched. Yeah, and then you've got KK. So you got KK, Lemieux, and Suzuki, I think, are 1, 2, 3. So, you know, you've got players in the playoffs, if you need to, that can come in and do that.
And Maxime Comtois.
Too. Yeah, Matt Comtois as well. I think you've got a lot of play. I think this team is deeper than it ever has been. It is more skilled than it ever has been. Because, I mean, let's run through real quick before we get to the games. What do you want your lines to be when we're fully healthy?
I want it to be Gensel, Aho, Teravainen, Svech, Kuznetsov, and Natchez. Now, for the record, I came up with these lines before Adam Gold said his lines, and it turns out they were the same. I'm just going to point that out there. And then I would have Martinuk, Staal, Foss, because I think you need a shutdown line, and yeah. I think Staal really, I think you maximize his efficiency when he plays on a line where players kind of play on yeah. the same pace that he does. Mm-hmm. That's why I really like the Staal Nexus-Sill and Nordstrom line.
Yeah.
I thought that was really good at one point.
Yeah.
So I have that as a shutdown line. Maybe you put Jarvis up there on away games, which I would understand. But I do Drury, Jarvis, and Nason.
Okay. I would do Aho, Gensel, and Jarvis. And then I would do Kuznetsov, Natchez, and Svechnikov. Staal, Martinuk, Fast, Drury, Nason, and Teravainen. Mainly because I don't want to put a 20-goal score on my fourth line. So I would rather... I mean,
Teravainen's a 20-goal scorer, too.
Yeah, but he's not, like, a guy who thinks about shooting the puck. Jarvis will think more about it. So, you know, if you got, like, Aho feeding...
Yeah, he would.
So if you got on your first line, you know, you got Gensel and Jarvis on your wings, and each guy, you know, you if you're an opposing team, you're like, oh, you know, Gensel might shoot the puck. Oh, Jarvis might shoot the puck, right? You know, Aho's going to rack up assists on these guys, you know.
But he can score, too. And
yeah.
I mean, you look at the stats, Aho still is the leading goal scorer for Carolina, yes. I believe, at 25 now after tonight.
Yes.
He played very look, well.
This team is better than it ever has been this season, roster-wise. I don't think you're going to beat it. It's deeper than it ever has been. I think we're now a cup contender. We filled the one hole you and I had been saying we needed to fill for the last 3-4 years, right?
Goal scoring.
Yeah, which you now have. You have that in Jake Gensel. He's a 40-goal scorer. He's someone who's going to come in and put the puck in the net for you in the playoffs in the regular season. He's a Stanley Cup champion. This team is riddled with cup champions, Kuznetsov, Orlov, Jordan Staal, Jake Gensel. I mean, Teravainen. I mean,
yeah,
you have a lot of people who won cups.
There was a huge applause for Gensel and Kuznetsov, yes. which I thought was great.
Yes. Well deserved.
Yes, definitely well deserved. So there's that. And obviously, I mean, we'll get to why, but obviously Jack Drury is out. Sounds like it's going to be quite a while till we see him back
yeah,
well, on the ice.
Thank God we got Kuznetsov.
Exactly. Definitely.
And look, I think the way KK played and Kuznetsov played tonight, until Kuznetsov is like ready to fully take on that responsibility, you can probably kind of mix and match those lines. Kuznetsov can play some shifts on the fourth, and KK can take some extra shifts on that second line right now. I think you're in a spot where you can do that. Now, I'll tell you right now, against the Rangers, if Kuznetsov can do it, put him on that second line right now.
Yes, definitely.
Now, I'm hoping – I don't think we get Gensel back for the Rangers, but I think we get him back for Florida.
I hope so.
At the very least, close. He needs to be back for Toronto.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how those players return. Now we're going to get to the Hurricane wins that we will be recapping. But before we do, let's get to our sponsor. We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boo Hill Casino and Resort, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 24. All rights reserved. Okay, Sam, the Devils game. I thought this was, to me, a game where, I mean, New Jersey had its moments. I thought into the second and into the third period.
You should have your moments when you're Luke and Jack Hughes hit the post twice. So that helped.
Yes, that did help. But I thought this was a game that showed more of Carolina's identity, which was defense, than offense.
Yes.
And I really thought that's what happened. Now, coming in, I did not know the stat. But apparently Carolina is first in the league in terms of power play on the road. And we were able to show it. I agree with Adam. I didn't think the power play was that good. But Nat just scored on the power play from Teravainen Ace. And what a shot that was from the point.
Yeah. And look, that was a good shot from Natchez. And I felt like you needed a good start there. And that was important.
Yes, it definitely was. Now, second period. This is when the controversy happens. Shea scores a goal, but before that, Nason apparently, according to the officials, I disagree with this, interferes with the goalie outside of the goal crease, and officials look at it, they say that is no goal because he interfered with the goalie, and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Because I seriously thought that was a good goal. Now, here's the thing. What makes me feel better about that goal being overturned is apparently that play was offsides. And Travis Green, who's the coach of New Jersey, was going to challenge it for offsides. And usually when you challenge a play for offsides, it usually is. So that goal was going to come back, either from goalie interference or from offsides. So yes, that made me feel a little bit better.
Yes.
About the whole thing. But I understand how Brendan Moore reacted after that whole situation, because there was a penalty on New Jersey, and the refs told him it was going to be a 4-on-3, and I think that's what it should have been, a 4-on-3. Because you failed the challenge, one person from your team goes to the box.
Yep.
And the penalty on the other team, since that that challenge was failed, a player that committed that penalty on New Jersey should go to the box, therefore 4-on-3. But the officials say 5-on-4. How is that a wash? To me, that's managing right there. You're managing the game.
And you lied to the coach. So
yeah, you did lie.
Again, so why I don't think refs have to answer questions after the game?
Exactly.
I mean, it's just one of those things where it's like, okay.
And scouting the refs, which I have had a debate with them in one instance on Twitter, they even said they were surprised that goal was not a good goal because of the interference ruling. Because Rule 69.1 states incidental contact outside of the crease will allow the goal to stand.
Yep. It was a bad call. Now, did they get it right technically? Yes, the goal shouldn't have counted. We were offsides. But we shouldn't have had to challenge it. We shouldn't have had to go on the penalty for it, right? It should have been up to New Jersey to challenge for offsides, not us to challenge for no goaltender interference. Calling the ice should have been a good goal. And then up to New Jersey to make that decision.
Definitely. So I wasn't happy about that. Again, at that time, I didn't know about the offsides thing. I didn't.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know it even when Hishe scored.
Yep.
Svechnikov, I thought, played a terrible game.
Yes.
In New Jersey. He really did. I thought he bounced back very well against Calgary. I thought that whole line bounced back against Calgary very well. But that Aho line, to me, just was not good in that New Jersey game. So Svechnikov, he fails a clear, and that kind of makes it to where Hishe scores. Now, does Kochetkov want to have that back? Maybe. But I think if you clear that out, you won't have to have that problem for Kochetkov. So I kind of put that more on Svech than I do with Kochetkov. So New Jersey ties it 1-1, and it was after that goal when I found out about the offsides thing.
Yes.
It really was, because I was fuming when Hishe scored. It's like, this could be a totally different game. And then that was when I saw Trip Tracy's tweet about the offsides thing. I was like, okay, that makes me feel better. So it's tied 1-1, heading into the third period. And Sam, nothing really happened until the end of the game where New Jersey pulls their goalie twice.
Yep.
We score, first before the empty net goals, KK gets a goal from an impossible angle. Like, it shoots off the post and then off the back of Nico Dawes and in. That was an impressive play. Now, I think that was more on Dawes than I think it was on KK, because I thought that was just a little bit lucky.
Yes.
Right there.
But good for KK.
I know. Great for him.
He's got 3 points in 2 games.
Yeah, so hopefully he's starting to awaken now with the competition of Kuznetsov.
Yeah, because now it's like, okay, because now it's really going to be between him and Drury. I think Kuznetsov's playing. You have to, because Kuznetsov's ability is just better than Drury. Kuznetsov has more skill than Drury, right?
And KK.
Yeah, so he's playing. It's just whether Drury ends up playing him. So, you know, the reality is going to be is if KK starts lighting it up and Kuznetsov starts lighting it up with Drury out, I mean, you're not going to take them out if they're playing well. I mean, it's awful that you kind of hurt yourself out of the lineup, but I'm not going to bump KK if he's popping points every game, and I'm not going to pop Kuznetsov out because his skill level is better than Drury's.
Yes, exactly. I completely agree with you there. But now it's 2-1. Carolina regains their lead against New Jersey. Again, I didn't think they were really impressive offensively against New Jersey. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was a 12:30 time that kind of put them off, maybe. I don't know. But when New Jersey pulls their goalie, Nico Dawes, Carolina's like, oh, let's score on New Jersey. We know they have a bad defense. So that's what happens. Svech scores from Teravainen and Shea on an empty net.
Yep.
That's 2 empty net goals, I think, in a row.
Yeah.
For Svech.
Yeah.
Although he didn't score, I don't think. No, we lost against Winnipeg. But there was another game recently where I think they pulled their goalie. So I guess you could say 2 in a row. And obviously now New Jersey scores at the late of the game. That was like, 15 seconds left. It didn't matter. Meyer scores. But New Jersey pulls their goaltender again. And Teravainen, he scores. So, I mean, great game for Teravainen, 3 points.
Yep.
And we went against the Devils. Now the Calgary game.
And also, just for the record, in that Devils game, Kuznetsov was buzzing.
In the first period, he really was. Yeah. I didn't think it was as noticeable in the second or third.
I don't think he played as much.
He was pretty
good. He didn't play as much the second and third.
Brendan Moore's going to limit your ice time if you're on the fourth line.
Yes. And now tonight, he really looked good. That line looked good. Ironically, it was the only line who didn't get on the score sheet tonight. But
I know.
But they looked good. I mean, look, no one looked bad tonight. At least I didn't think anybody looked bad tonight.
When I saw this game, I mean, we both saw it together because we were at the game.
Yes.
I mean, us winning 7-2, even though I thought we were really good, we really were looking good. I thought this was a little bit more of Calgary being so bad.
Yes. But I was also just kind of reading some post-game quotes today. And it's not like they asked Svetch, like, hey, you know, does adding these two guys give this locker room another, you know, like, step? Like, does it make you feel better? Does it give you, like, more energy? And he was like, absolutely. He's like, you know, that's a whole new feeling in here right now. So they feel, like we talked about, right, on when we did our joint episode. It was that, and before it was, you know, if you invest in these guys, you know, you can like your group all you want.
It's going to give them confidence.
Yeah, and that's what it is. And if you do like, and I said that, right? I made the argument, if you like your group that much, you'll add because you want them to be better. And now AB will be like, I didn't have any faith, right? Our friend Caniac Sessions, AB. Look, dude, you didn't have faith either. It's all Griff. All Griff. Griff was the only one. And I'll give him all the credit in the world. AB, sorry, you had no faith. You didn't think we were going to do anything either. So let's be honest. Griff had all the faith in the world. All the faith in the world that they were going to do
good
something.
Good for Griff. You know what? Good for him.
He was the only one who believed. Now, look, me, the eternal pessimist, just tried to protect myself there. I didn't want to be hurt if Carolina continued to do their regular nothingness at the deadline. But they went out and did the right thing by this core.
Yes, they did. And the reason why I think you're probably a pessimist, and maybe a little bit, I'm a little bit of a pessimist too heading into the trade deadline. Was because, I mean, now, I'm not saying Griffin AB didn't go through this, but, I mean, we saw 9 years of this team not making the playoffs. Like, that's a huge part of why.
Mm-hmm.
For me, at least. I don't know if that's for you, but well, I mean, that's a huge part for me.
Well, that and just, like, past examples would, you know, usually predicts the future, right? And Carolina hadn't shown any desire to go out and get, you know, a rental. And technically, Gensel's a rental unless you extend him. And I have that feeling that they're going to attempt to extend him. And I think we'll get it done. But it doesn't matter. Either way, if you win a cup and he gives the rental, you're not going to care. Like, it's not going to matter at all. So,
and I think if Gensel played against Calgary, I would have gotten my 10 goals.
It's very possible. It's like, very possible.
I really would have. I think I would have. But we only got 7. 7-2. Martinook scores. Aho scores. Chatfield, Svetch, Burns, Jarvis, and Tara Vinen. My gosh, that was a slaughter. The only thing we didn't like was the Sharangovich goal.
Yes.
Which was the second goal for Calgary because Anderson was like, I'm just going to kind of just walk.
He's like, you know what? I feel bad for Calgary. Here's the puck. You can put it in our net.
Yes.
See, guys, I have a heart. I feel bad for teams.
Anderson, if that was your reasoning, do not have that reasoning at all. But I doubt it is. So I think I'm okay with it. And I'd rather... Listen, Sam, I'd rather him do it in a game like this where we're up 6-1 than in a game like maybe against Florida or the Rangers where we're tied. And it's going to be a tough schedule. It really is. Rangers, Tuesday, Florida, Thursday, and Saturday, Toronto. This month's a busy month.
It is a busy month.
And you and I tomorrow are going to be going to see Cam Ward.
Yes, that's the plan. That is the plan. I love Cam Ward.
Well, as we're recording this, for you guys listening, probably the day it gets released tonight. Yeah.
And we want to give a special shout out and thanks to Brandon from the Warning Take for going after...
defending us.
Yeah, defending us, Caniac Sessions, and pointing out the wild flaws and cardiac Kane. So thanks and props to you, brother, for sticking up for us. So
yes, really, thank you. I mean, I watched that video. I thought that was
well done too. I mean, good
really
gracious.
Well done.
Yeah, great product. thoroughly detailed and dismantled cardiac gate, which was great. But good job for hard work there and defending us when we were unnecessarily attacked there. And look, when, you know, if you hit us, we'll hit you back and we'll hit you back to win. But we don't go out there looking for fights either. So
I don't. I just don't care about cardiac Kane and no. others in the media, maybe.
Yeah, but thanks to our friend at the Warning Take.
Yes, thank you, Brandon. We really appreciate that. But yeah, 7-2 win against Calgary. We just really killed them. I was really hoping for that.
You nervous goals. For Tuesday?
Oh, I'm extremely nervous for Tuesday. Oh my gosh! I mean, that arena is going to be filled with Rangers fans.
Mm-hmm.
I hope we win against. The Rangers, especially if we have Gensel back in the lineup. Oh, man. And just think Gensel scores like the game-winning goal against the Rangers. Oh, that would make me feel so happy. Because I hate the Rangers. Yeah. I hate Washington more. And probably Boston more. So I would say probably Washington, Boston, and the Rangers are my most hated teams.
It's not going to be pleasant.
No, it's not, but we'll see how that game goes. We'll see it. Florida's going to be an intense game, too. Last game was really intense. That was, to me, the most intense game of the season. This might be even more intense on Thursday.
Yeah.
And now, Toronto on Saturday.
I hope we get Jake Gensel back for at least one of these next three, because these are like probably your three biggest games of the season right now. I don't think we have any other big games against big opponents like Boston, I guess, in April. But, you know, we're getting down the stretch.
Yes, we
are. Almost playoff time.
I know. I am very excited to see what this team does, especially with Jake Gensel and Kuznetsov on this team for the Hurricanes heading into playoff time. But we're in the final stretch.
And do we want to announce what game we're going to be doing a giveaway for this month?
Yes, we do have a giveaway. It's it's a little bit farther down the line. I think it's one of the last games of March. But it's going to be the Detroit game, which is a 7:30 start on Thursday on the 28th. So be on the lookout for that. Again, we are only going to be giving the details on our episodes, so listen to them.
Yes. Yep. Listen, pay attention. But just as a little hint, hint, wink, wink, it is the Detroit game. So keep an eye out for that in a couple weeks.
Yes, definitely. So we will see you guys Friday.
Thanks for listening to the Kaniac Report. Be sure to subscribe wherever you heard this podcast so you never miss a future episode. Can't get enough of the Kaniac Report? For more content or to connect with the Sams, check them out on Instagram and Twitter @the Kaniac Report. We'll see you next time.